Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to a Monday Newsbusters podcast. Sometimes it's hard after a weekend. It was sort of a slow weekend to say, well, what do we want to talk about? But David Rutz at Fox News had reported something that, maybe we might have missed or been a little slow on. But Julia Yaffe, I think is how it's pronounced, this Russian-born American journalist, has offered an inside look at liberal media frustration over Team Biden and how Team Biden is managing the press. We should point out that Julia is not a right-winger as she discusses all of this. To us, she is best known for a CNN segment in 2018 where she claimed about Trump,
"This president has radicalized so many more people than ISIS ever did."
Now, does that sound like a reporter who's got their finger on the pulse of truth? At the time, CNN contributor David Urban sort of shamed Jake Tapper. This was on The Lead with Jake Tapper. He shamed Tapper for not immediately pushing back on this thesis. And then you ask yourself, where have you seen David Urban on CNN lately? CNN sort of took these people that they hired to be pro-Trump commentators, commentators who are expected to always defend Trump on everything. They're just not there anymore. I mean, and so Rick Santorum got the boot. Scott Jennings still there. But, you know, you almost want to put a stopwatch on it because CNN's viewers can't stand dissent. CNN's viewers want the DNC line 24/7. Now, you can say that the news media has gone soft on Biden. Everybody can see that. But what Julia found here was reporters courageously went off the record to say things we all know. This one in particular was sort of the pull quote of the whole thing. "Democrats in general have a much thinner skin," the reporter said.
Really?
"This is not unique to Trump, but Republicans never expect a fair shake. So if you cover them fairly, you can have a good working relationship with them. Democrats de facto expect you to be on their side and are horrified when you hold them to account as you would any other administration." Yes, everybody expects Republicans are going to get punished on a daily basis and Democrats are going to be polished. The reporter said it goes back to the Obama years when the Obama staffers would ask, "Don't you realize that being a woman is no longer a pre-existing condition?" And the reporter said, "I would be like, yes, but I'm writing about why your website keeps crashing." So this reminds you of the whole Obamacare debacle, which was you were supposed to say, well, Obamacare's intentions are good. And when it doesn't actually work, that's not the point. Liberals are always like, well, okay, so it doesn't work perfectly, but our heart's in the right place. Matthew Iglesias, liberal journalist, tweeted, 99% of the reporters working in the mainstream press would agree with the reporter here on the thin-skinned Democrats. But then he said, honestly, what is the more significant thing about the ACA? That the website glitches or the regulatory changes that improved people's lives? Well, the obvious point here is if you can't get logged in to get onto Obamacare, then how great is it? Reporters are supposed to report on glitches. The whole problem is, oh, well, now your news seems to help Republicans, so it's no longer news. Do you get the sound of that? It is news when it helps Democrats. When it seems to help Republicans, so it's no longer journalism. Now you're just hurting the right side of history. Why would you do such a thing? So the piece continues. It should be stated that the main theme here is Trump is gone. Do we miss him? We don't really miss him. We don't miss his threat to democracy. But they're not really loving the way this is going. She admitted Trump was unquestionably good for business in the media. You know, CBS boss Les Moonves got in trouble for saying that back when Trump was a candidate. And maybe it was worse when Trump was a candidate because he, you know, maybe he wasn't going to get elected yet. I mean, it's not like CBS didn't try to get Trump defeated. But it is obvious that Trump was good for the media business. Trump was especially good for the liberal media business, that liberals were so panicked that they wanted the latest horror show. So 6 months after Trump left office, you have reporters, some reporters actually spoke on the record. Olivia Nuzzi of New York Magazine, she's always good for a sassy quote. She said, "I feel like a feral child that has to learn not to bite people because I was raised by wolves." It was wolf eat wolf there in the Trump years. We'll argue she did report like a child. She would stand up at these briefings or challenge the president, basically suggested he killed thousands of people from coronavirus. That why should he still be president after all these deaths? Yeah, they're not doing that now. You wouldn't blame Biden for a single coronavirus death. But she's still a little upset, Olivia Nuzzi. She says, "Everything seems more buttoned up than the streaking convention that was the Trump White House. Now there's a process for everything. There are rules. There's a pre-approved formulated message and a pre-approved formulated way to push that message out into the media bloodstream." Yeah. I mean, this is the way Democrat administrations work. It's usually the way Republican administrations work, too. It's just that if you look, say, at the George W. Bush administration, they would try to have a carefully pre-approved message. And the Democrats would, the media, the Democrats, we repeat ourselves, would rip that to pieces. It was their job to rip the Bush narrative to pieces. They are expected to repeat the Biden narrative in just the way that the Biden people want it. This article says, like Barack Obama's people, Biden's group is extremely controlling. I remember an Obama comms staffer trying to feed me quotes for what an administration official should have said during an on-the-record interview. Like they want to correct the on-the-record goof. Like here's what you want. Here's what he wanted to say, which is what press people have to do. Biden people will nitpick over a clause or an adjective or a highly parsed nuance, which on the whole, Trump people didn't do. That's because the stories they were dealing with were stories like Trump said African countries are assholes and that old people on cruise ships should be sent to Guantanamo. I don't remember that one. But the Biden people were like, "You said stern, but we think Biden was firm." They're fighting over adjectives. They want to dictate the coverage down to the word choices. A White House reporter anonymously says, "Obviously, I'm not wishing that Trump was still president. But as a reporter that wants a story, it's frustrating how disciplined they are. Kudos to them. They're very happy with themselves. You can see it. The coverage across the board from everyone is very, very lame." Well, that's candid. The coverage of Biden from everyone is very, very lame. I would agree with that. Their idea of a tough question of Biden is CNN's Caitlin Collins saying, "Is the filibuster a racist relic? Please say yes." The reporter went on, "It's very difficult to go from a group of people who had contempt for their boss and are willing to leak on any subject to a group of people who think they're saving the world and who think very highly of themselves and are very disciplined." This is what they all got used to with Trump. This is what they very much like about Republican administrations. They go looking for the Republican aide. Sometimes, a lot of times, it's not an appointed staffer. It's somebody who's been inside the government for 20 or 30 years. But they'll go looking for that person who will be willing to leak and say all kinds of nasty things about the president that they serve. You can't find that now. They're not interested in that now. They're more likely now to use an anonymous source inside the Biden White House to say something complimentary about the Biden White House. Not one of these Trump threw the remote across the room and then he ate a hamburger and then he threw half the hamburger across the room. You know, they did use anonymous sources for this kind of colorful Trump loses his crap detail. They're not going to do that for Biden. Julia managed to include White House Press Secretary Jennifer Psaki did not respond to a request for comment. Yes, I imagine not. More after this.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
So we've been talking about Julia Yaffe writing this newsletter article. She has a newsletter now called Tomorrow Will Be Worse. I should note that there are reporters on the record in this article on whether the Trump reporters miss Trump. Michael Bender, White House correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, said the intensity and the color of Trump was always better, but the challenge of telling an accurate story was harder. He does acknowledge Trump made himself more available than recent predecessors. That alone was more helpful for journalists. I always viewed that as a good thing. This was sort of an unacknowledged thing about Trump. You could go back to the 2016 campaign. The Washington Post decides to do a book about Trump. Trump revealed. Trump gave hours of interviews to the hostile Washington Post because they were doing a book about Trump. The Washington Post was not going to do a 2016 campaign book about Hillary Clinton. First of all, because Hillary Clinton was not going to cooperate. When Hillary Clinton gave an interview to the Washington Post, reporter Ann Gearin asked her how her granddaughter would feel eventually about her being nominated for president. This is what happens. Democracy dies in darkness when you're interviewing Hillary Clinton. New York Times chief White House correspondent Peter Baker is quoted in this piece. He said that the Trump stories were often what he would call cotton candy stories. They melt in your mouth and then they go away. And in the end, they don't add up to anything. What's interesting here from Peter Baker was, he said, what's shocking about Biden is that he's been pretty disciplined. If you had asked me before Trump, who is the national political figure who is most undisciplined, most likely to go off message, I would have said Joe Biden. I don't know what they've done with him or who they replaced with him, but he's not the Biden we've gotten used to in his 3 decades in the Senate. In other words, people expected Biden would be loose. Biden is vice president. Probably wasn't this loose. He had people that managed him, like James Carney, who later was promoted to being Obama's White House press secretary. In the Obama years, they always would use Biden for color, for isn't he charming? Like when he called signing Obamacare a big effing deal. And then the DNC sold big effing deal t-shirts. Oh, that Joe, he's so enthusiastic. He so loves Obama. Isn't that cute? Good old Uncle Joe. Then we go back to Livia Nuzzi saying everybody's doing a lot more maneuvering. There's a lot more punches pulled. It requires a phoniness dealing with the Obama people or the Biden people. That is the usual thing that reporters have to do. There is a phoniness in talking to sources. You have to pretend to be their friend. It's one of the things I probably wasn't a very good White House reporter when I was a White House reporter. because there is a certain amount of, my job is to make you say something that you're not supposed to say. And that can be a tough thing to do. Then we turn to Susan Glasser, Peter Baker's wife and co-author, who writes about politics for The New Yorker. She's regularly on CNN denouncing Trump. She agreed, the truth is the Biden White House is very opaque. They had it easier because they campaigned and spent the early months in the White House in a pandemic. So they haven't had a chance to build relationships with the press, and they've benefited from that. The coverage is much less deep and rich so far, in part because of the restrictions of the pandemic. All right, I find this to be a little bit, speaking of phoniness, Peter Baker just said they've talked to Biden for decades in the Senate. You can't try to say reporters didn't know him, that Biden hasn't had a chance to build relationships with the press. This whole idea that he could campaign from a bubble, from his house, they all allowed that. He wasn't punished for that. The press didn't punish him for that. The press didn't punish him for not giving them much access. And when the press would give him access, they'd ask namby-pamby questions. He got questions like, why is Trump doing this? And why did Trump say that? And please denounce Trump. Isn't Trump a disreputable person? Boy, you guys really know how to ask the tough ones. Then we go back to another anonymous reporter who covered the Trump White House. There's a sense that Biden's position is fragile and that he has to be protected, that any unkind gaze might knock him over, which plays into every right-wing stereotype. Fascinating. I'm not one of those people that wants to do sort of what I would call the Brian Stelter thing, the way that Brian Stelter always presented Trump as a candidate for the 25th Amendment. He was mentally unstable. He had no mental faculties. That, to me, is sort of a desperate line. Now, it is true, Joe Biden's 78, and you can see sometimes that he has gaps, that he does things that could be found amusing, like not being able to remember the name of his defense secretary. And then you have the fact checkers who come around and say, well, you can't prove just because he didn't say the defense secretary's name doesn't mean he forgot. Thank you, fact checkers. So this goes on, young White House reporter. I don't know that there's been a president who's been so protected and wrapped in so many layers of wool to keep him away from anything remotely approaching an adversarial interview. Why expose him to any risk? He's old. He's lost a few steps. It's worked for them so far. Yes, it has worked for them so far, because you're all a pile of ninnies. This is all about the news media making their own decision. Somebody should break from the pack and ask him a tougher question. You know, somebody should pounce on him when he can't do the name of his defense secretary. They don't like doing that. See, they covered Trump as a gaffe monster, as someone who said all sorts of outrageous, terrible things. And Biden, they very carefully curate, as we've discussed. It is kind of nice in here that Peter Baker says, it drives me crazy when reporters don't talk on the record, when we don't do the thing that we ask other people to do. Well, reporters, this is the game they play. They love to quote other people off the record, and then when they want to unload, they're going to stay off the record, if you'll let them stay off the record. So they can be candid. Is that it? Can we call it candor when you're talking from behind a wall? But this is the question, the main question. What would the come down from the adrenaline rush of Trump be like? Wouldn't Biden be harder to cover? Would anyone watch or read the news emanating from a purposefully boring administration? And we know the answer to that. The news media's audience has fallen off. Worse than anyone at CNN. Fox is off too. And to some degree, again, it has gotten boring. People find Biden boring. Susan Glasser says, there's a reason that TV networks cover plane crashes and condo crashes. Trump was the plane crash of democracy. How CNN a sentiment is that? One other industry insider, unnamed, says, it's juxtaposed to be the most boring administration in modern history. You go from a circus with flaming chainsaws to what? An old man watching his dog? Well, this is, again, their fault. Their fault. They could make the Biden thing more. They could mix it up. They could make it more interesting. They'd simply choose not to. There's all that pack discipline. You don't want to be the one reporter or the one media outlet that's tougher on Biden because you're afraid about losing the access. We all understand everybody wants the access. And then you're barely granted any access. And then when you're granted access, you ask namby-pamby questions because you want to maintain your access. Who are you serving? Are you serving the people? All this chatter about how we are here to hold people accountable, that is just a phony thing that they say. That's a thing they say when Republicans are in office. It's not something they say when the Democrats are in power. They're very careful. Democrat press doesn't want to hurt Democrats in elections. It is funny, though, that they say the political stories that get the most eyeballs now are still the ones about Trump. Peter Baker, some story about Trump on A26, even now, has the potential to get far more clicks than a story about Biden that's on the front page. Given our readership, it's probably a lot about people who might not like him, but they are still drawn to stories about him. Yes. I mean, I have liberal neighbors who will talk like this, like, why isn't Trump in prison yet? Do you see this over the weekend? I did a video tweet on this. Dean Obadala was on MSNBC, and he was like, it's not partisan to say Trump is a terrorist who should be in jail. It's always funny when the Muslims, who couldn't stand you associating Islam with terrorism, so quickly throw around the T word when it's Donald Trump. He's a terrorist. One final quote from a young White House reporter. I think everyone probably misses the ease of it, Trump, having so many willing leakers. It made you think that you were better than you were. It made you think you were a really good reporter, but really, are you? I think we had an inflated sense of our abilities, and it was all a fraud. Oh, I love that. You were a willing recipient of leaks from people inside Trump land who hated Trump. Well, good for you. That's what your bosses wanted. You gave it to them. It continued. Now everyone is exposed and everyone is dog bleep. Where are the great stories? They don't exist. I can't remember the last time I read a great story that really revealed something about the Biden White House. Exactly. Somebody should actually try to find one of those. We're not going to be optimistic that somebody's going to find a deeply revealing story about the Biden White House. What we're going to get is more charming stories about an old man and his dog, unless that dog is out of control and biting people. This is the reality. We have a press corps now that's very pro-Biden, that goes very soft, and then when it doesn't like what it's doing about itself, it kind of complains off the record. And then we'll get more of the same. Come for more about the sad coverage of Biden on Newsbusters. Read us once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.